pretty boring affair for the Sabres against the Kings. But luckily, we also have another reunion with the Sabres coming on Monday that we will preview here today on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Sam Reinhart back in Buffalo.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including our YouTube channel. Be sure to check us out there. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. Be sure to follow us on social media. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. A 3-0 defeat at the hands of the LA Kings. We'll recap today's game. We're recording this on Sunday, and I'll tell you why I have a Stanley Cup bet on the LA Kings. Then later on, we'll get into Sam Reinhart's return to Buffalo. It's reunion week. We had a little of that too already. Marcus Foligno in Minnesota. Today it was Cal Peterson. Sabre prospect once upon a time has a shutout. Now we've got Reinhart. Then we've got Eichel coming on Thursday. So we'll preview Sabres and Panthers a little bit later on, including what the Panthers are up to. They're a great team. Whether or not they're a cup contender, we'll talk about the betting odds, the lines for Monday's game. We'll get into it as well. Jordan, you have a Calgary Flames Cup bet, you said, before we got going.
I do. And it was just based on, like, kind of like your Kings one that we talked about, was you just like the bracket, the way the bracket would work in the Pacific.
Right.
The Pacific seems up for grabs. And I like the idea that now Kings, the odds are amazing. But like Calgary, I thought the odds were pretty good for a team that's winning a division right now.
Absolutely.
I think I got them at +1,125.
Okay.
And so it's you know, a little bit of risk. And I think that they're gonna have home ice until they get to the Avalanche, you would expect.
Sure.
But we've seen the Avalanche lose early. So you never really know about that. Now do I think the Avalanche are gonna lose early? No. But I mean, I like the idea that Calgary can get to the Avs through a relatively easy run and then try to win from there. And there's a chance that the East cannibalizes and
whatever. Yeah. I don't have a live Stanley Cup odd on the Kings, but I got them at +5,500 about a month ago, and now they're in second place. That, by the way, 3-0, 2 empty net goals tonight, and we'll play the blame game on the one goal that was scored at even strength by Andreas Anthonisiou by LA, and they did win the shot total 30-19. I mean, they limited the Sabres to very few chances in this game. They did a great job smothering them. I've said it before on the show, but like why I kind of threw down just a small like Stanley Cup futures bet on the Kings. Their numbers are great. And like what I saw from them against the Sabres is kind of what I've seen from them every time I've watched them this year, which is they play a puck possession game. They keep the puck and they keep it. They don't let you have it. And they don't get the greatest goaltending. They don't have the greatest scorers, but when they always have the puck and they have more scoring chances than their opponent, I'm betting on that team. Now, some of the advanced numbers on them that look great are those ones I just talked about, like expected goals for, they're sixth. They have the third most scoring chances in the NHL this season. They're fourth in Corsi four percentage. They have the second most shot attempts in the NHL this season. But what's the one metric that they're not good? PDO. PDO, if you don't know what that is a combination of shooting percentage and save percentage. And oftentimes it's tried to use as a way to measure how lucky or unlucky certain teams are if their point totals don't match their PDO. And that's the Kings. They're second in the Pacific, but they're 25th in the NHL in PDO. They have not been getting the saves, and they do not have guys that have been finishing. Now, the finishing might come around because they have a lot of goal-scoring potential up at the top. Adrian Kempe is having a career year with 25 goals this year. Alex Iafallo, Western New York, or Eden native, has scored goals in the league before, and he's having a down year. Kopitar's having a down year goal scoring wise. Dustin Brown's having a down year. Quentin Byfield just got here and he's not scoring a lot. Like, they're second, and I feel like they've got four or five guys that could give more. Now, I'll ask you, is that what they look like to you, though? Do they look like a team that has cup winning potential? Because while PDO might be a number or a metric that's used to judge how lucky you are, save percentage is half of it. And while that can be lucky, I'm not betting on them getting a lot better in net down the stretch. Cal Peterson's fine and Quick has been better this year, but he's kind of shot to me. So I don't know. What do you make of the Kings right now as like a Stanley Cup futures bet?
Yeah, it's funny. They kind of remind me of the team that they had when they did win the cup without the goaltending.
Yeah.
Like, the goaltending's like just more of a question mark. So on that level, you'd probably say no. But like, they're pretty disciplined. Like, I thought the Sabres couldn't really get much of anything on them. So like, credit to them for being like a strong defensive, kind of like they do remind me a little bit of like the Islanders. Like, they're not very good, but they play well together and they're effective and they frustrate you. Sure. Is how I would describe them. So, I mean, the Islanders have made runs, so why can't the Kings?
I think the Kings would need to get a goalie hot. One of the two, whether it's Quick, whether it's Peterson, like, they need one of those two guys to get hot, because, you know, like, they're scoring a lot on the power play as well. Victor Arvidsson, I should have mentioned earlier, like, he's been a great acquisition for them. He's got 18 goals in the season. Philip Deneau as well. So like, they've got some new blood there, but not this elite talent. Like, they'll probably need one of those two goalies to get hot to win big in the postseason. And Quick's done it before, but he's 36 and he hasn't really done it in 8 years. So is he going to do it? Peterson's, to me, is more likely. Peterson at 27, he's kind of coming into his prime. It seemingly he's having a down year this year as opposed to the last 2 years. So they're an interesting team. They were the better team against the Sabres, I thought. Now the Sabres got good production from the Skinner line. Wasn't Skinner awesome today?
Yes. Yeah. I thought he was great. Like, it's just, it came back to Skinner looking great and then not scoring again, which is, you know,
yeah, he came close.
Didn't want to see that anymore.
Yeah, he came close a couple times. He had that one saucer pass in the first period to Tage Thompson. That was beautiful. But past them, like, this has been the story of a lot of these games. Past them, they didn't have much. Although I will say Hino Stroza had some energy. He had some bursts.
He's a delight. I like Vinny.
That dude just runs around. He's annoying. Yeah. He's fast. He's just shooting it. Like, I love that guy. Who the two guys that are on one-year deals that I would love to re-sign are Hino Stroza and Pesek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would love to see that. So, otherwise, it was Kids Day, but
the Sabre, when's the last time the Sabre scored a goal on Kids Day?
Remember that Stars game a couple years ago where they lost like 7-0?
That was the one where Phil Housley said they had a good effort.
Yeah, they had a good effort, right. Right. And Murray, it came out like a couple months later that Tim Murray like lost his mind on Kids Day after they lost the game. He was like throwing stuff or something.
I mean, good effort. They lose 7-0. Good. They performed well.
Yeah, you can't score.
Rob Ray said that today.
That they had a good effort?
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm in sure, a way they I did. Guess, it was a 1-0 game through the entire time. Mm. And so, like, couple Tage Thompson misses, we could have easily been up 2-1. So, like, in a way, like, Rob was probably right. But I don't think Phil Housley was right on that Kids Day way back when.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of all that happened on the ice. We mentioned it's Kids Day too because it helped set them a season high in attendance. 10,775 was the announced attendance. Will they break that on Thursday against Vegas or even Monday against Florida? I'm guessing Thursday is much more likely.
Yeah, I would guess no for Monday. Thursday, I would guess, yeah, I would expect that. I mean, would you want to go to that? I would probably want to go to that.
I am going to it, actually. Oh, I asked work to see if like we had any tickets left for Thursday's game, and they're like, we had one pair left. Listen, anytime I've asked, I've emailed our marketing director at WGR this season, like, hey, is there tickets available to this game? Every single time it's been absolutely, and then I get the tickets. This was you got lucky, you're the last one. Hadn't heard that all season. Also hadn't heard no all season. So it's a hot usually ticket.
It was probably a pile of tickets just sitting in a basket where everybody can grab as many as they want.
Usually there's like UB basketball tickets against Eastern Michigan sitting on that table. And like this year there's
tickets. I would grab those on my way out the door every day.
We'll have to go.
I love a UB basketball game. But I mean, are you going to be kind to Eichel?
I'm just going to kind of sit back and watch it all. I might clap. Okay. I might clap to try to balance it
out.
No
cheering in the press box, of course.
I won't be in the press box, though. I'll be in the stands.
Well, but still, you're living by the values.
I think he's going to get booed. He's going to get booed.
I mean, I would hope so.
I would bet on it heavily.
Any fan with self-pride would boo him. Not saying that he didn't deserve or didn't, like, wasn't in the right to ask for the trade, but if you have any self-pride, mm-hmm. you have to boo him. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it.
It's your obligation as a fan.
It's part of the fan code. The guy doesn't want to play for your team, you boo him. Mm-hmm. Even if you wish it went better.
Well, I wish it went better. Let's pause in this conversation for a second, because we do have that game on Thursday, and we're going to want to talk about that later on in the week.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you the same question as it relates to Reinhardt, but we'll do that in just 1 second, because I do want to bring to everybody's attention, we have a new sponsor here on the show, Athletic Greens. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things it's helping with. So, some health facts on it. It's lifestyle friendly. I've been doing keto right now. I've been mentioning that on the show. Whether you eat keto or you could be on, you're doing keto too right now? Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Paleo, it works for as well. Vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, and it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. I still have that a little bit, not going to lie. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts as well. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen. After we're done here, make your second listen Locked On Now. Nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So we wrapped up the first segment, got into a little bit of an Eichel tangent there. It's going to be very easy to do this week, what the reaction's going to be for him on Thursday night. I'll ask you a two-part question here. One, should Sam Reinhardt get booed Monday night against the Florida Panthers in his return? And two, do you think he will get booed?
I think if Eichel does, I think Reinhardt should too.
Do you think he should? But do you think he will? I feel like he might be more well-liked. I don't know if
people care enough about him.
Oh, wow. Just that we don't care. With quiet crickets. Which that would be an insult in its own right. Like, I think it would be. Imagine absolutely. That on the video board. It's please welcome back. They even show like a 20-second video. Welcome back, Sam Reinhardt. And there's just, you could hear a pin drop.
They're all just dozing off.
There's not a single noise in the building. That would be good.
I mean, that pretty much sums up his career here.
I would say this. Wow, that's good. I would say, well, to me, they're not different. And maybe later in the week, I'll try to make a comparison as to why I don't think there should be either guy should be booed. I'll say this. I think Reinhardt is more well-liked. And maybe part of that is the Sabres traded him right away. Like, he wanted out, and they were like, okay, boom, it was done. And it didn't drag out. And maybe that helped his reputation. Because Eichel being here through the whole summer and the beginning of the season, and that kind of hanging over our heads and whatnot is like a dark cloud. Maybe that helps sour everyone against him as opposed to Reinhardt. But also, Eichel was the guy, right? Reinhardt was important, and Reinhardt was a part of the core. And I'm not saying he's absolved of any blame that Eichel gets as well for why they weren't good, but I feel like Reinhardt had his fans, and there isn't the same disdain towards him.
Do we remember O'Reilly's first game back? He got booed, right?
I don't remember it. I would
guess. That's what I mean. Like, that's why I'm like, I'm trying to remember it too, because I don't really remember. I would imagine he did. And I would imagine both these guys would get the same treatment. And if he didn't, we might not get boos for either.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do think Eichel's more likely, just because he was, it was more of a thing. Reinhardt was, it was quick. And also, in a way,
it wasn't
like,
as public. It wasn't as public too.
Yeah. And both of these trades, like the Sabres, I think should be pretty happy with the returns thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty happy, not amazingly happy, but like Reinhardt, I'm very excited for Devon Levi.
What would you call that right now? You can't call it a win, but you can't call it a loss either. Like the O'Reilly trade was a loss already. By this point, the O'Reilly trade was a loss.
Well, because one guy was refusing to play and the other one was bad.
That's right. And the prospect wasn't playing well either.
Wasn't that good either.
This one is Devon Levi's the best goalie in college hockey. Like
he should win best player.
Hobie Baker.
Shouldn't he? I mean, he's...
I'm not the guy that's like super well informed on that, but from the outside, it seems like he should. Yeah.
Everything I hear about him, he's like, oh, he got his 37th shutout. It's like, how do you not pick this guy? But there must be like, I bet in college hockey though, there's a lot of guys that have really, really strong years with like goals against averages about less than two. I bet that's fairly common among like the really good teams.
Right.
I don't know.
So I just looked this up to make sure it's right. There's only been two goalies in history that have won the Hobie Baker. That's it. Two. Rob Stauber, who won it in 1988. He played for the Sabres. Six games is all. He only played 62 games in the NHL in 1995. The last goalie to win it, the second goalie to win the Hobie Baker, and the last goalie to win the Hobie Baker was Ryan Miller for Michigan State. It's destiny, right? The only two guys to win it played for the Sabres, and the last one was like a franchise goalie. I think, too, I saw someone, actually our buddy Z, our buddy Ryan on Twitter, texted.
Great Sabre prospect guy.
Great Sabre prospect guy, and I think he tweeted me the other day that Levi, who recorded his 10th shutout last night for Northeastern, I think Miller had two his Hobie Baker year, two or three. And Levi has 10. He has 10 shutouts. That's crazy. No one thought he was ready at all. Like, we were thinking 2-3 years before he was maybe even in Rochester.
I want him now.
And I think that might happen. I think when his college season's over, he might sign a professional contract with the Sabres. Maybe he ends up going to Rochester instead. Yeah. But maybe not. Maybe he plays for Buffalo this year. Like, that trade is going as well as humanly possible. Not as well as humanly possible. Because if that were the case, the Panthers...
Reinhardt would be really bad.
Well, if the Panthers were bad and their first round pick was like around like, you know, 10th to 15th, but that pick's going to be, we'll talk about them in a second in this context.
It might be 32.
It could be 32. But like, what would you grade that trade right now? Like an A+? Can you
it's not an A+. Yeah.
An A?
I mean, you're as optimistic as you can be about Devon Levi. He hasn't shown any reason why you would think that he wouldn't be good. So A-. Because you can't say for sure, though. College doesn't always translate.
And then for Reinhardt, how is it going for the Panthers? For the Panthers, maybe it's an A+ for them. Because think about, Levi was expendable for them. Because like, while they might be kicking themselves if he becomes the best of their guys, they'll be kicking themselves. But at the time, they had Spencer Knight. They had another goalie prospect whose name is escaping me, and they have Sergei Bobrovsky 2 years into a 7-year deal. So, like, they have no room for him any time in the future. Like, until Bobrovsky's done, which could be 6 more years. Spencer Knight, who they drafted in the first round, like, that is their goaltender of the future. So they didn't need Levi. That's who they used as a bargaining chip. They traded a first-round pick that's going to be late. And Sam Reinhart, meanwhile, is a point-a-game player. And they have ascended to one of the best teams in the NHL. He's at 52 points in 52 games. So it's a win for both teams right now, right? Because the Panthers are getting everything they could have possibly wanted.
I 100% agree. I think it's a win-win. I think the Eichel trade is
not a win-win yet. Too.
I know we're going to talk about that, but it's not. Yeah, it's not a win yet, but it's...
For Vegas, it's not a win yet.
Right.
Like, they're not in the playoff spot.
Same. Mm-hmm. Even the goal he scored, he whiffed on it. But
yeah, you thought that was accidental? That was definitely accidental.
That was definitely accidental.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was like trying to swipe at it as it was going through.
Right.
It still counts. So good for Jack there. But yeah, like I think the Sabres overall should be pretty happy with their returns, and they should be pretty happy for the future. Like cautiously optimistic, I would say. But yeah, like I think, I don't know. Like I don't, that's one of the things that like it numbs the pain, and it's, do you boo? I don't know if our crowd is that into the games. These, like, I just don't think they go to have fun at the games. And I don't think they like Cale Peterson. If the Sabres were good and they were playing for a playoff spot, Cale Peterson
would he get booed? Would
deal with hell. Would he have not? College player that would not play for the Sabres.
Right.
We got like, how does that goalie not face any adversity?
Right.
From the crowd. I know it's kids' day, so I can't really. The kids get
them. Yeah, they were one when he decided to leave.
Right. But it's one of those things. Like if the Sabres were in a spot where the apathy, I just feel, is there. And not saying the fans are being like poor fans or anything. I just think like it's hard to really get like too riled up when it doesn't really matter.
Right. All right. Well, that's the emotional aspect of Monday's game. Let's get into some of the betting odds. And also I got to ask Jordan what he thinks of the Panthers in terms of their Stanley Cup potential for this season. So that is coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right. Thanks to Built Bar, it almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I enjoy eating them so much. All Built Bars are 100% covered in real chocolate, great flavors. My favorite is cookie dough because they got the actual pieces of cookie dough in the bar. You have cookies and cream, coconut brownie, mint chocolate brownie, and most Built Bars only contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. So they work for me and they work for Jordan in our keto diets, and 17 grams of protein as well. Compare that to a candy bar, by the way, which that's the comparable for taste. And they're around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We're going to talk about the betting lines for Sabres and Panthers in just a second. And when we do that, we will be heading to betonline.net. Football might be over, but basketball and hockey are in full steam for both pro and college. If you want to bet on Owen Power, Eric Portillo, and Michigan, you could do that at BetOnline. If you want to bet on Devin Levi and Northeastern when they're playing, you could do that at BetOnline. And it's not just basketball and hockey. BetOnline.net is your source for boxing and UFC odds as well. Big fight just happened last night between Jorge Masvidal and Colby Covington, and I was doing that. Look, I had Masvidal, not going to lie, at plus like 200, and that was never close. But head to BetOnline.net now, where BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Let's spin the wheel of blue and gold before we do anything else with Sabres and Panthers. Nothing from this past game. Robert Hägg and Sam Reinhart did not score in his game against Tampa Bay. So Jordan is up, and he will get to spin again if he doesn't like it. He has to pick a guy who's going to score. Robert Hägg. That's an easy one, right?
Spin again, please.
Poor Robert Hägg. Nobody wants Robert Hägg. Not in this game.
I like Robert Hägg. I just don't think he scores.
Almost got him again, but instead, Kyle Okposo.
That's better. That's better.
15 goals on the season.
He might be up a line. Word on Tuck?
The not really. Don Granato didn't have an update after the game. Just said he's going to be sore and we'll see about tomorrow.
Upper body injury.
Granato tries usually to go a little more descriptive, but
yeah,
not too much.
I mean, he's definitely got like at least a bruised shoulder.
Yeah. All right. I'm getting Casey Fitzgerald here. I like Casey Fitzgerald. There's some offensive flair there, but I am certainly going to spin again. I'm not, there's almost no defenseman I think I would settle for. Maybe Dalin. And I get Victor. Oh, wait. Jacob Bryson almost. Nope. Victor Olofsson. All right. That's a pretty even matchup. Olofsson versus Okposo. Okposo's got double the goals this year, though, so maybe it's not.
Well, yeah. Victor's been unlucky.
All right. So we talked about the emotional element of Sabres and Panthers. And before we even get to the game, what are they to you? Are they a legitimate Stanley Cup contender? Are they one of these pretenders that's just having a great regular season and do it in the playoffs? And until then, I'm not going to believe you can do it. What are the Panthers for you?
I think the Panthers are really good. I think they're really good. I think they are definitely a legitimate Cup contender, but they're kind of like the Leafs where it's prove it. Like they haven't done anything since the 90s.
The one year, and that was like a
fluke season too. That was like a miracle season. They were like pretty recently an expansion team. I think it was their second year in the league.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they're like since then the franchise has been they're happy to be there. They're happy to be their team. But this year I really do think they're legit. Would you rather play if you're them? I mean, I'm just saying this hypothetically. Would you rather play Toronto or Boston?
I'd rather play Boston. I don't think Boston's as good as they've
been.
That
is funny because for the past decade, nobody would ever say that.
Nobody ever would. You're right.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like that's
well, let me play this game. Let me play this game with you on them. So right now they have 79 points. That's second in the East, only behind Carolina. It's above Tampa and Toronto for first in the Atlantic Division. If the season ended right now, they'd play Boston. Who would you pick in that? Would you pick Florida in that? Who would you pick in that series and how many games? Florida, Boston.
I would take Florida in 7.
Okay. Let's say they end up playing Washington. Who would you take in that series?
Florida in 5. I don't think Washington's very good.
If it's Florida versus Toronto.
Florida in 7. I think okay. I think the Atlantic is like I think all four teams are good.
Okay, so last one. If it's Florida, and this could happen, Toronto would have to put together a win streak here, but they're 5 points back of this. If it ended up being Florida, Tampa Bay.
See that's probably Tampa in 6.
So you would pick them though to beat everybody except Tampa. And that's kind of where I'm at with them. I would put them below Tampa, but I think they might be. I think I would right now, if I were doing a power rankings, I would put them, and we have our Locked On NHL power rankings where they've been top 5 all year. I would put Florida 3rd in the East. I'd put them behind Tampa, and I would pick them behind Carolina, but I think they're right after that.
Tampa's getting like premier, like Glory Day Patriots level to me, where it's like, I'll believe somebody beats them when I see them beat them.
Yes.
Like they're getting to that level where they're that dominant, or pick your NBA dynasty.
It's
like, I'll believe it when I see it.
It's the thing that Stu Gotz does on the Dan Le Batard show for 20 years. Every time anyone picks against the Patriots, he has the same line. Don't do it. I care about you. That's Tampa. If you're picking against, don't do it. I care about you.
I mean, it's just like there's always a sports team that becomes this. Mm-hmm. And the Lightning have become it. Like since Tortorella ruined their days for that 1 year, They have never looked back. They've been on a revenge tour that doesn't end.
Yes.
I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think Florida, and I say Tampa in 6 just because Tampa would, I think they would win on home ice. If they take a 3-2 series lead, they would win on home ice. So that's a 7-game battle for sure. Mm. Like, I just think those two teams are as even as they can. If Florida has built a team to beat Tampa, they gave Tampa fits the last time they played. So yeah, they did. The last playoff series. So I mean, they could do that again. Why not?
So
you're better now.
I think their rosters are very similar. Like, look at, you're going to see it tomorrow night. These are going to be the lines for Florida against Buffalo. Alexander Barkov, they're very spread out. Carter Verhaeghe, Mason Marchment at the top. And if those are some names that you haven't, you're not really recognizing, Verhaeghe's got 41 points in 54 games, and he's coming off a season last year where he had 36 points in 43 games. Like, we're talking about a 60-plus point player in Carter Verhaeghe, if you're not sure who that is. And then Barkov is like, he's awesome. An elite centerman. 76
he usually
points.
Gets listed as most underrated player in the league.
He always does.
Yeah.
He'll be
Which
that guy.
I would say makes you not underrated. If you're always the top of the underrated,
is perennial
not underrated anymore. Is
perennially, I can't speak.
If you're perennially, I can't even say it.
What's with that
underrated?
Word? We can't say it perennially. Year. I can't do it either. I'm done. I'm not trying it again.
Perennially.
So. Anton Lund, I'm moving on. Anton Lundell has been centering Sam Reinhardt and Frank Vetrano. Lundell is the guy I was hoping and thinking the Sabres would get in the Reinhardt trade. It's his rookie season, first round pick a couple years ago, and he's got 38 points in 51 games. I mentioned Reinhardt's a point of game player, and where's Frank Vetrano this year? 17 points, so he's not doing too hot. But then the other line, because they're spread so perfectly, Sam Bennett centering Anthony Duclair and Jonathan Huberdeau. Sorry, I most misspoke. Barkov is the one with 52 points. Huberdeau's got 76 points in 55 games.
Jonathan Huberdeau is awesome. He's an awesome player.
Duclair's got 20 goals already. Bennett's got 24 goals. He's having a career season, in part because he's playing with Huberdeau. They run four lines deep. Joe Thornton's on their fourth line.
Forgot about him.
Did you forget?
Oh, that's why they won't win.
The Panthers. What's that?
That's why they won't win.
Oh wow, he's only got that four goals. Win. He's only got four goals and two assists in 24 games. He doesn't really play that much.
Is he gonna get Raymond Bourque treatment?
Maybe he might. He might. They win a cup. So, but anyways, and then real quick, their blue line. So like Mackenzie Weegar and Aaron Ekblad. Yeah, that's an elite top pair. That Weegar is a great player that not a lot of people know about. Gustav Forsling and Radko Gudas is fine. And then Brandon Montour is actually having his best season with Florida this year with Lucas Carlson. So they have three good pairings. This is the difference, though, to me. I think roster, the skaters. I think Florida can go toe-to-toe with Tampa as well as anybody. My concern and why I put Tampa above them is I know that Andrei Vasilevskiy is going to give me elite goaltending. I know it. Whereas Sergei Bobrovsky, he's having a bounce back year, but that guy is as hot and cold in the playoffs as any goaltender we have ever seen. And Spencer Knight, who's only 20 years old, remember, yes, he's probably the best goalie prospect even still in the NHL, but he is not having a good year. He's only played the 18 games, but he's at an .898 save percentage. He has not really took the league by storm as many thought he could right out of the gates. So they're probably going to be riding Bobrovsky, and who do you trust, Bobrovsky or Vasilevskiy? And that's an easy one. And that's my concern for Florida, is goaltending will get them beat. We'll get an elite roster beat when it comes playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that Bobrovsky deep down might still be the guy, the saver that was in the carousel of goalies that Philadelphia sent out at us in 2011.
He's never changed. it's amazing, by the way, right? That he was the goalie in the last Sabres playoff series.
That is, that the Sabres weren't very good that year. That's still one of my favorite playoff series.
I can't believe they didn't win that series.
It
with
is
all that
so
bad goal
funny.
Thing.
Like they were playing. I can't believe they played three goalies and still won.
Yeah, I know.
They played three goalies.
Finally on today's show, let's go through some of the betting lines. I've got some trends. The Panthers are 30-25 on the puck line this year. They're 33-20-3 on the over under. So 33 overs, 20 unders, and three pushes this season. Now the Sabres will likely be going with Craig Anderson in net because Dustin Tokarski started against the Kings. So let's look at what some of the lines are at Bet Online. The puck line is actually right down the middle. So Panthers minus a goal and a half or minus 110. The Sabres plus goal and a half or minus 110. The over under. So I just mentioned 33 overs, 20 unders for Florida this season. The line's been set accordingly. 6.5 goals is the over under. That's a lot. You like that's happening a little bit more as the season progresses, but that is a rare number, and it's minus 120 on the over, plus 100 on the under. So like that's a tough one because the season tells me, and Florida, their offense tells me go over, but minus 120 for over 6.5, that's tough.
I think I like the under.
Under 6.5 at plus 100.
If Alex Tuch doesn't play, I don't like that hurts the Sabres offense a lot.
Could you see? Yeah, like 5-1, and you got like
the
it.
Panthers would need to score a lot of goals, I think, to get to the over.
If they hold, 4-2, 5-1, like they'd
you
have
need
to
a 4-3 game.
You need a 4-3 game. And are the Sabres going to score 3 goals on the Florida?
If the
Panthers?
Sabres win, they're winning like 2-1.
Ooh, see, I might disagree with that. I feel like if the Sabres win, it's Bobrovsky has one of those games and they win 5-4.
Oh my!
Maybe not with Tuck though. You're right. Without Tuck,
I just don't see the Sabres scoring a lot. I don't know.
By the way, the money line: Panthers minus 280, the Sabres plus 225, and there's no prop bets up yet. I was looking for what Reinhardt might be to score, but not up yet. All right. Well, those are some of your betting lines over at Bet Online. Sabres and Panthers is a 7 o'clock puck drop on Monday, and then we are full speed into Eichel as the Vegas Golden Knights are in town on Thursday. I didn't ask you the one question that I was teasing. We did. We talked about whether or not Reinhardt be booed. Never mind.
It's funny. We have like an outdoor game in a week,
and then an outdoor game on Sunday. It's a big week.
It's a big week.
Big week. All right. Thanks everybody for listening to today's show. Be sure to check us out on Twitter. I'm at Sticky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. And be sure to check out the podcast account at Locked On Sabres. Thanks for making us your first listen. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steel Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Enjoy Sabres and Panthers, and we'll talk to you after the game is over here on Locked On Sabres.